Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's Mail It In Friday.
I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Boy, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail?
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around putting it in the boxes.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the playoff voice of the Raptors.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Masai Ujiri will join us in about 30 minutes. So at 5:30, Masai will call in and we'll get his take on why he decided to fire Dwayne Casey. Why does this make sense? How is this going to change what your team is going to do next year when you get to the playoffs and maybe you face LeBron James again?
Well, he knew when the final buzzer went against Cleveland that he was going to fire him. So it's like, why did you wait and why did you wheedle him out on Wednesday? That's what I want to know. Doesn't seem fair. Not fair. Nothing's fair, but that's not the right thing to do.
Well, optically, why would you? If you knew that was going to happen, like, don't wheel him out. Just say, hey, I'm going to talk. And I'm reassessing everyone in the organization.
Yeah, I think Scotty Mack said, you tell your PR guy, we need 48 hours here because we're not going out there. I'm firing this guy.
Well, that's the truth.
There was no rush for the presser.
Yeah, like game four was Monday night.
Yeah.
You know, it's Friday. It's not like he was like, get back to me in a month and I'll let you know. Like, he evaluated pretty quickly.
He knew at the final buzzer. He
absolutely
probably knew before.
He probably
after
knew.
After game one loss at home, he probably knew the ship was sinking and it was game over.
I agree with you.
Here's a question for you guys. Do you believe Casey is fired today if they lose in game seven?
No.
That's what I mean. How do we ask Masai, like, is it the way that they lost?
Yeah, we got to ask him that for sure. Because, like, reports are coming out.
If they lose in overtime in game seven, does Dwayne Casey get the gate?
No. We'll ask him. I don't know. I mean, there's a part of me that felt like Masai had been seeing something throughout the year, and it really, really was highlighted against Cleveland.
Yeah, it resonated.
And it really came out against Cleveland. And listen, Dwayne Casey, he's been really good to the show, and we're going to play some funny audio here in a second. He did not have a good series against Cleveland. Like, there's just nobody did.
Well, maybe that's what
nobody
hammered
did
at home for Masai. It was like, that series, the way he managed it, I'm out.
It did not. The details, the lack of attention to detail. Game three, the end of game three, and what came out after that was not a good look for Dwayne Casey. When LeBron hit that buzzer-beating shot, and then afterwards, Casey admits that maybe he didn't communicate exactly what he was looking for.
Yeah, that's...
That's not a good sign if you're a coach.
Yeah, you're right. It's not good. But I mean...
So that I think, was maybe the nail in the coffin. I also didn't love after game two, where he's like, we're playing for pride, and he gave the we're playing for pride speech. I could see if you're a fiery guy like Ujiri, and you're like, don't give us the pride thing right now.
Yeah, not right now.
This is not the time. You're down 2-0. You can come back in this series.
Yeah.
Because basically the vibe he was giving off was, we're done, it's over, let's try to pretend as if we're professional here.
Yeah, that's
make sure fine. Nobody goes through our search history and finds the details of us booking U-Hauls and trips to Europe and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. That's not good either way.
All right, so Ray's coming up here in a moment. Do you want to hear this Dwayne Casey montage?
Yes, I want to hear the montage.
Well, based on the history of him on the show and how you guys always goof on me and goof on him because he and I kind of always had a bit of a connection, right? I think over time, the whole show, like even you guys, started feeling the love a little bit.
We never... Talk to the guy. You just stole the show every time.
I think last
time. Let's hear this thing.
He loved me.
I will remember you.
Hey, B, how you doing, buddy?
Will you remember me?
Well, B, one thing that I said before the game.
Let your life pass you by.
Hey, B, how you guys doing?
You're not.
How's it going, Dwayne?
Doing fine, Brian. How you doing, buddy?
We're doing well. I'm doing very good.
And I was pretty, you know, pretty adamant about it after the game was over with Brian. But so we want to make sure we stay sharp, Brian. That's a good point, Brian. And one thing that has allowed that, Brian, is, well, one thing with OG, Brian, is, you know, I always said this, Brian.
As always, we really appreciate you doing this.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Noodles.
You bet.
Probably got some really cool tracksuits at the All-Star game. Like, really cool.
Jamie,
one.
I tell you what, boy. I have not forgot you, and I won't forget your tracksuit.
If you guys win a title this year, I expect karaoke at the parade, and I want you to pump out multiple tunes, okay, Dwayne?
If we do that, I'll get on top of the CN Tower and sing any song you want me to sing. I'll tell you that.
All right, we're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you,
appreciate
Brian.
It.
Okay, buddy. Okay, talk to you later.
It's getting stuffy in here.
Yeah.
That's an emotional audio.
Cutting onions here.
I thought he called you Hazy B, didn't he?
I think he may have at some point called me Hazy and then B. Like, it was kind of like a Hazy, I'll tell you what, B. But there were a lot of Brians and Bs and Hazys and Hazy Bs, and he called you Jamie, even though it was Jeff. And
you got it, Noodles.
Shout out to Noodles and the tracksuits and...
Yeah, the tracksuits.
Tough day for the show, because Dwayne Casey's always been a friend of the show.
Yeah, one of our favorites.
Yeah, so...
The business of the game, I get it.
Hopefully we can get him on the show at some point. I mean, we'll track him down and watch him come in, and he'll totally forget our names. And
yeah, what if it was just a sham?
Immediately, it's
no
a sham.
No idea.
I got to be honest, I have no idea who you guys are.
Completely had a guy holding up a piece of paper with your names on it. That's the only reason I said anything.
Exactly. All right, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What would happen if Ray just said he's never coming on the show again? Do you think we'd do like a montage for him?
Absolutely. We would start with like Toilet Seat Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then a couple
me
of
me owning him on the Kessel versus Crosby debate from years ago.
Him absolutely abusing you on that, the right. Kessel-Crosby conversation.
What do you think your biggest moments would be on this show, Ray?
When I hang up.
You've had enough already, huh?
No, honestly, do you think Coach Casey has any idea, Brian, who you are?
No, not really.
He's sitting there with a piece of paper.
Kind of. I mean, he's been
in studio
before. I
understand he's a nice man. I hear he's a really nice guy. Everybody that's tweeting about their interaction with him is talking about how nice he is. But, you know, he would know O or he would know Noodles. I mean, but you're just like, you know, I don't know. The guy.
You'd be surprised, Ray. You'd be surprised. Well, he actually calls
really?
O. He calls O Jamie, so he doesn't know who O is. He has no idea who O is.
I think it's awesome.
That's okay too, though.
Right, exactly.
What the heck, right?
Yeah.
Hey, how about MLSE pulling this whole gig today?
Brilliant, yeah. Isn't it?
Fire the coach, hire the GM.
Well, here's another thing.
One slides into the other.
I don't know if you're even aware of this, but the Blue Jays slid in Marcus Stroman on the DL today, too. And I think that was calculated as well, 100%.
Like, it's amazing how now, you know, what could be or would have been the biggest story is shuttled to third place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, you know, a coach of the year is fired, and... I'm assuming that's in second place.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because they've named the general manager.
Tower over everything. When they have big news, you know, everyone under the umbrella, they get to benefit from that. That's Toronto.
And I don't know, even though it wasn't a surprise, right? Like, you know, it seemed like this is going this way for a week or 10 days, and for whatever reason it took the time it did, and they came to the conclusion in hiring Kyle Dubas that I think mostly everybody felt they were kind of leaning towards.
Ray, as far as Dubas...
And even then, it's the biggest story.
Yeah.
Ray, as far as Dubas, he's an unbelievable guy. He's very polished. He's very nice. Is the one thing that you'd look for going forward? To be a GM in this market, you kind of got to have a little bit of... You know, if something needs to happen and you're like, screw this guy, I need this guy out of the picture immediately, it's not exactly the nicest thing to do.
You mean like that he's going to have to make some hard decisions?
Yeah, like just sometimes, you know, GMs, they'll just say, you know what, I'm done with this guy, I need him gone from the situation.
See, I think it would be hard in almost any circumstance to first time or two that something like that happens, and then you become more accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. But if he's, you know, if he's, I'm sure the first time a manager had to trade a player that he really liked, I'm sure it was really hard. And then the next time, well, I just got to trade the guy. You know, I got to make my team better. And I think it'll be the same for Kyle. I mean, it's remarkable at, you know, at his age that he's going to be making, you know, he's going to be at the front of the franchise, or aside Shanahan, I guess. This, you know, the general manager spot seems to be something so different than it was even just a few years ago. Because now most management teams have way more people involved, way more people do smaller portions of the job, and the manager's not the be-all, end-all that they used to be. I mean, that's the way I'm thinking of the general manager spot now.
I know.
Well, yeah, I think the role of Shanahan, like, you look at the Raptors as a comparison, like, Masai Ujiri is not technically the GM anymore. He hired Bobby Webster to do that, and Webster's like 31, 32, kind of like Dubas, but when anything big happens, everyone goes to Masai. Now, in Toronto, Shanahan didn't play that role publicly. Like, big news would happen, Shanahan didn't come out. He would send Lou out. So I still would expect that Dubas will be the one that will be doing the press conferences and doing the radio interviews, but trying to get a read on how involved Shanahan is day in, day out, is kind of impossible because nothing leaks and he rarely speaks publicly.
You know, I can't believe for a second he doesn't, you know, he's not involved in every facet of what goes on, but you can't, you know, I don't think they've hired Kyle Dubas to be a front man so Shanahan can run things from behind. Like that, I don't even think of it that way. I think they like him. They think he's smart. They think he's got some great ideas, and they've got a really great base. And it's going to be really interesting this summer because he doesn't get to ease into the job. Like, look at that summer. We've already talked about what they have in front of them. And in a way, I almost feel bad for him because every decision is going to be so highly scrutinized, not just whether it's the right or the wrong decision, but whether it's the analytically the right decision or the eye test right decision. Hell, he didn't ask for this. He's just the guy that got hired. And there's going to be a scrutiny to him on every decision that will be different, I think, than most people or someone else that they might have hired. I think it's going to be very different, at least initially, until people can get a read on what his roadmap is going to look like.
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing to point out. Like, ageism exists both ways. Like, when Lou came here, there was ageism. How are you bringing a 73-year-old into a new market like this? Right. What's he going to do? And now it's the opposite end. How are you bringing a 32-year-old or 33-year-old who's never had any experience into this kind of market? And, you know, the older school media, they've already been leaking out, well, Hunter would have been the guy. A lot of people in the hockey community think Hunter should have been the guy. Of course, because Hunter's been in the hockey community for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, of course he's going to have that kind of support. So,
well, I'm also interested who they'll hire. I assume they're going to hire another guy into the front office.
Yeah.
You know, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious to see who that is. Like, is it a ex-general manager? Is it somebody that's newer that we don't know about? You know, it seems to me that it would be somebody with at least a little bit of experience in the big chair, but maybe it won't be. I mean, everything seems a little bit different, right? The way they look at things seem a little bit different than the way managements would, as I said, 5 years ago. It's a really interesting time. I don't have a strong opinion either way that, oh, it's the right thing or the wrong thing, but I think it's the logical next step for the way that the organization was set up more than a few years ago. That once Shanahan got in here, they were transitioning into something newer and different. And it, you know, it seemed like there were, you know, three or four general managers or assistant general managers that all had little chunks of the pie to look after, and that made the general manager. Yeah, Lou was at the very top, but everybody else was running little parts of it. Now Lou's gone, and those parts get bigger, and it will never be like it was under Lou. It's just the next evolution of what the manager's job is going to be in a gigantic organization.
You can't see Mark Hunter sticking around after not getting the position, can you, Ray?
I can't. Let's say he's the best scout ever. You know, I don't know. And they're going to pay him X number of dollars. But if he really wanted to be the general manager, and that's what Shanahan said, then this will always be gnawing at him. And so how could he be comfortable in that spot? He doesn't have to do the job to earn a living. He's already earning a living in London, where they own the junior team. And so if he's not satisfied, or if it kind of rubbed him the wrong way because, yeah, he wanted the job, it would be tough to stay. It would be tough to be, you know, the second place finisher, and the guy that you finished behind is now your boss. Like, that would be tough.
Right. And you never know what their relationship, I'm sure it was fine, but you don't know what the relationship was like. Kyle was in office or in our studio here half an hour ago, and he was talking about how his day-to-day duties early on were with the Marlies, and then he would check in with Lou later, and as their relationship grew, him and Lou were in contact almost all the time. So you could tell he gained a lot of trust from Lou. That's a different scenario now because he's in the big chair. How is his relationship with Mark Hunter? They may have had one, or they may have only had one on the outside. To me, I wouldn't say it's concerning, but you've got a lot of moving parts now. And I think Kyle, as a general manager, it doesn't matter of his age, he has to develop his own style and implement exactly what he wants moving forward.
Well, that's why the start here is so critical, because you only get one chance to start. And so he's got I saw part of one of his interviews where he said, you know, they got a couple opportunities here in the next bit to get everybody together and establish what exactly they're trying to do, what roles everybody's going to have. And it seemed like it didn't seem like he was making it up as he was going along. Like, he's got a pretty good idea what he wants his next step to be. And I would be shocked if he didn't, because he just went through the interview process, whatever it was. He's also been working here for 3 years or so, and age is age, I guess. You know, I mean, we'll always wonder. He's 32 years old. Paul Maurice started coaching when he was 28, and everybody said that was way too young, and it was. And it took him a while to find his stride. But, you know, but Kyle started in the NHL when he was 28. But he wasn't a manager. He was an assistant. And he was doing all these other jobs around, and you gain a little bit of experience. And there's lots of 40-year-olds that aren't great at their managerial jobs, or 45-year-olds at GMs that we've seen car crash themselves with the franchise they had. He's going to get his crack, and it's going to be much earlier than most. And it's going to be incredibly interesting this summer, no matter who was going to be making those decisions. It's going to be really interesting in Toronto.
Well, and that's the truth. I mean, the next 2 months, this is where you make your bones as a GM. This is it.
We're going to be sitting here on this show saying, great job, or what was he thinking?
Yeah. What did he do at the draft? What did he do at free agency? When other deals are going down, were you in on that? Why were you not in on that? Why did you get... I mean, this is it, right? Like, the easier move would have been hire him September 15th, and he shows up for camp, and, okay, we'll see at the trade deadline when you're first really on the clock. But he's stepping
in. You had no option for that. There's too much heavy lifting. He'd be done right away.
Well, of course. I mean, I'm sure he's happy that he gets to do it now, because he wants to put his stamp on this team.
I just wonder where Lou... Like, if Lou's actually going to stay. Like, I wonder if he's...
I can't see that happening.
September 15th, I mean, Ray, what is your percentage that Lou Lamoriello is still with the Toronto Maple Leafs organization come September 15th?
4%.
There was talk when Lou got here, he was going up to people saying, what do? I do this. Well, you got to find something else to do, because I do that. Well, so I can't imagine him sticking around.
Well, he's allowed to at that point. It's just... I mean, I don't.
Now he's got to know who he is. Like, right. This is different for Lou. All of a sudden, Kyle can be like, actually, can you step outside, Lou? I'm having a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
I would want to do that if I was Dubas. I would love that. Imagine you get to do that just once. Be like, just hey, once. Lou, take a lap, all right? Oh, and throw out the garbage while you're at it.
Stop it.
Why not?
If I became the boss of this show, I would walk in here. I'd be like, Hayes, shirt and tie every day.
Yeah, you'd have to. Just once. Just do it once. You don't have to do it every day. Anyway, who you got in the conference finals before we let you go?
Well, boy, I think Winnipeg is, I thought Winnipeg and Nashville were the best team, so I'll take Winnipeg because they're left. Mm-hmm. Although I picked against Vegas all year, right? I kept waiting for them to fall apart, and I don't know why. It just seems like Winnipeg's the best team, and no matter what Vegas has done, which has been just utterly amazing, I think Winnipeg is just a little better. Now, the only what gives me pause is Fleury's playing as well as I've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
And Hellebuck's at his first crack at this. And that seems to matter. You know, Noodles could speak to that a little more, but I'm still going to take Winnipeg. On the other side, I'm going to take Tampa. And I just think they're too quick and they're too deep for Washington.
That'd be a great final, man. That's a coin flip too. Tampa, Winnipeg in the Cup final. Those are two really good teams. All right, buddy.
We were thinking about that today, actually, as we were sitting at breakfast, thinking about the travel, because of course it's only about us. Like what the travel would be like.
Yeah, you got to go Tampa
to get from Winnipeg to Tampa.
Tampa, Toronto, or you can go Tampa, Chicago up to Winnipeg, I would think, or Tampa, Minneapolis.
Yeah, we were discussing the different options.
Yeah,
you know,
Tampa, Minneapolis.
Although
too.
I read today, I think it was WestJet is adding flights from Winnipeg to Vegas, so they're going to be, if Winnipeg's in the Cup final, they'll
direct
add flights. Absolutely, they will.
Yeah, they would be smart to do that.
They should.
Although, I think, aren't there pilots on strike right
now? Well, yeah, WestJet's like, going on strike
you're gonna
like
add,
next
you're
Saturday.
You're going to add flights and you're going to have nobody to fly. I'm like, hey, Ray, you'll be flying a plane. Like, they got no pilots.
We got lots of planes here. There's just no one to fly them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly what this world needs, is more congestion at the airport.
Yeah, exactly.
Because WestJet pilots go on strike.
Oh, wow.
Well, we'll see.
It's just as long as one sunny place gets in.
Yeah, it's true.
That's critical.
Yeah, I think you're good. Winnipeg in June is very nice.
I think it's Winnipeg, Washington. That's my call.
All right.
But
so would Overdrive be in Washington, or would Overdrive be in Winnipeg?
No.
I would ask to go.
I would love to go, but today's a perfect example. You know, people in Winnipeg are like, really, Leafs? Really?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we just won the conference.
But
we're in the conference
about,
final.
It's 5:23. We've not talked once about the game last night.
Not once. Nobody cares about Winnipeg.
Well,
nobody cares.
I do, but I mean, there's bigger news in Toronto.
Yeah.
So
there's your answer. TFC will fire somebody, so we're going to have to be here.
We got to fly, buddy.
Such a bitter Bob.
I'm okay. Actually pretty happy today, but... Anyway, enjoy yourself.
Okay, well,
over
I'm
there.
Gonna fly too. It's midnight here. I'm
gonna go sit at the Dreger Cafe.
Go to the Dreger Cafe, and Hunt will call you in about an hour and a half.
No, we're gonna try and I think tonight is we'll get down near the Norwegians. They're an interesting crew.
Yeah, I've seen.
I don't
picks.
Even think they've noticed their team lost today.
No, they don't care. They really don't care. They're in it to win it and just have fun.
I will say the last 2.5 hours of broadcasting Korea and the United States.
Very exciting.
Oh,
wow.
It was difficult.
What a barn burner that would have been. Can't believe I missed it. How
Korea
have we not been talking about
goal.
That?
But Korea got the first goal. We're like, oh, good. Maybe it'll be close for a while. 13 straight.
13-1. Catch it on replay on TSN tonight.
Yeah, great.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
See ya.
Talk to you.
See
ya,
boys.
That was our worst interview with Ray
of all time.
I think there's a time.
Like, I was bad. I was like, I got in and out at the wrong. I'm just like,
this, I was
there a delay
too.
Though?
I don't know what was going on.
His answers were late. It was just
weird.
I feel like he was on like Skype.
Is it like 4 a.m. over there?
Trash something, Mulls, if we swear and it doesn't go. Just trash that whole
just
thing.
The whole thing.
Whole thing.
Press
drop it.
Delete from the podcast.
Take it off the podcast. Yeah, I don't want that on.
The interview that didn't actually happen is brought to you by Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.com.
We just lost our concentration. Yeah. We were jacked up for Dubas talking about Casey, and we just... We did our own great white shart.
You're right. I had a moment, I was halfway through it, and I'm like, who are we talking to? Yeah. Like, what is going on here?
Well, it was because it was time delayed, and I think he was tired, too. Like, he's hit a wall.
Well, the end, he was, almost delusional.
It's like my dad's fallen asleep on the phone a couple times, and the person on the other end's, snoring, or my dad's snoring, and they're like, hello?
Yeah.
It felt like it was going to happen.
I kept saying, I'm like, all right, buddy. Okay. All right. Yeah, enjoy your weekend.
I gave him a we got to fly. We just needed to get away from that.
No, man. That was poison on radio. Poison.
Brutal.
Anyway. All right. Masai Ujiri is coming up. This isn't going to be more uplifting. We're going to be talking about the firing of a head coach.
Yeah, it stinks.
So what happened here? Why did it happen? When did he make the decision? What does the new coach have to bring that Casey clearly couldn't bring, in his opinion? Masai Ujiri next. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Masai Ujiri will join us here in a moment.
Brian Hayes, Jeff O'Neill, and Darren Dreger in studio.
Yeah, Noodles is having
Noodles
a bit of an episode.
Melting.
You going to be okay?
I told you guys that a chicken finger went down the wrong way. Exactly. I'm Lindy Ruff right now.
You have been Lindy Ruff for the better part of 5 minutes, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned for your health. I know it's been an emotional day. You're a big Dwayne Casey fan, but...
I'm very upset.
Anyway, I think we'll take some calls in the 6 p.m. hour.
And we might replay our Ray Ferraro interview.
That's never going to happen.
Why?
Because it was awful. We wrapped up an interview. It was awful.
Hey, we got to the big news. It's mail it in 6 p.m. hour. We'll replay it.
Well, we've got one of the main characters of the big news items of the day. I mean, a lot of stuff has been going on. We had Kyle Dubas in studio in the previous hour. But the big news from the Raptors is that they decided to fire Dwayne Casey earlier today. And here is the president of the Raptors, Masai Ujiri. Masai, obviously, this isn't the kind of call you want to be making, I'm assuming anyway. Take us through this decision. Why did you feel like you had to make this move today?
It's a tough day for us, you know. Casey was obviously very dear to us in every way in this organization, and we celebrate him. Right after the season, we just began to evaluate everything, and we're always evaluating, you know, the way things ended, you know, accumulated with things from to evaluating the whole 5 years, we just felt it was the right time to move on.
Just curious about the timing. On Wednesday, you guys had news conferences. Why did those take place, and why wasn't the firing done before that?
Because, you know, a decision hadn't been made. I have to go through the whole process of thinking it through, talking to a lot of people in our organization, and the way I go through the process, and having tons of meetings with Dwayne Casey. Customary is we do the end of season press conferences, you know, with me and him. I always want him to have a voice, you know, to be listened to regardless. No decision had been made at the time. Why was it done now? I've gone through every evaluation that I felt. And I also wanted to take into consideration that there's still a couple jobs open, and didn't want to take him out of that if that's something that he would look at.
Well, and I think there's a high degree of possibility that that will happen. I mean, this is a guy in Dwayne Casey who just was announced as Coach of the Year by his peers. We all expect he'll be announced as the Coach of the Year in June. You had an interesting comment to close your press conference today. You said you believe he deserves to be the Coach of the Year this year. And that's where I think a lot of the disconnect is coming from. You're saying you thought he was the best coach in the NBA this year, and now you've decided to fire him. I mean, how do we connect the dots? How does this make sense to people?
It makes sense to people that we looked at the time and said, you know, like the last 5 years, and it's time to move on to the next stage of what we're doing. The definition of insanity is you can't continue to do things over and over again, and some change has to come somewhere or the other. And I'm sure the next question will be, why isn't the change our roster? We're going to look at all of that, you know. We're going to look at everything, you know, and we're going to look to continue to grow. Changes with the roster are not made, cannot be made, you know, today. I can't trade everybody today or do those kind of moves, and we just continue to grow. But at some point, you know, you just need a change of voice, and a change of ideas and the way we approach things. And unfortunately, that's where we've come to. And I don't want this to be a session of what did Casey do or what did Casey not do. Today, we're celebrating the guy. So respectfully, that's the best way I can explain it.
Well, with that said, I was going to ask you, where did he go wrong in the Cavs series? I mean, you get swept in four. Everyone's got to be responsible for that. Everyone's got to hold some sort of responsibility. I mean, when you look back on Dwayne's performance against Cleveland this year, what went wrong?
I don't know if there's any particular moment, but we've taken it, you know, like I said, in the last 5 years, I've looked at it from head to toe, and some of the things were repetitive, and it's the decision that we've come to at this time that we make a change. So we've been swept four times, same team, and at some point, you know, like we have to figure something different, you know, that's what we're trying to figure out
with Masai Ujiri. Well, that's where we've been focused on, you know, throughout the week. I look back on this playoff series, and you know, I don't think Dwayne had his best performance, but I most certainly don't think Kyle and DeMar, your two star players, had their best performances either. Specifically games 2, 3, and 4, where just simply plus minus, you know, their minus numbers were completely off the charts. And this is not something new. When they run into Cleveland or run into the playoffs, they don't perform to the same caliber they do during the regular season. And I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, I'm sure you are too, but based on your evaluation, as you said, why do you think DeMar and Kyle, when it comes to the playoffs and specifically Cleveland, why did they struggle in the playoffs?
I'll continue to evaluate that and assess that. Sometimes we have to figure out, you know, like what positions they were put in, you know, like and continuously try to put things around them. And if it doesn't work, you know, we have to understand value. We have to understand when we can do things with our team.
So you can't give us any specifics on what you've seen out of them in the playoffs?
I think what we've seen out of them is what you can see is what you are saying that you've seen. So we're seeing the same things, and we're going to try to get better. These guys have gotten better, you know, like if I look at the last 5 years, you know, like they've gotten better, but players are not something that you can change overnight. So it doesn't matter what I say to you, I can't go and change them tomorrow, you know, like, but I have to look at it on the overall picture and see how we can make this team better.
Well, in terms of the kids, I mean, a lot of these guys you've brought in that supplied really quality production this year, and in the playoffs there were some hot streaks and some cold streaks. Guys like Poeltl and Siakam and Fred, if you can sign them, and DeLon Wright and OG Anunoby. How much growth would you expect them to have year over year? How much growth is still left out of those kids and what they can bring to your team?
Well, it's the same question we asked before, you know, like I would honestly ask, did we know, you know, like that there would be the best bench in the NBA, you know, like in the beginning of the season? You would say no, I would say no, you know, like that. So growth is development, growth is practice, growth is hard work, and these guys put the time into it. And for us, we don't put a ceiling, there's no bar. These guys, we set up programs and bring guys with a good work ethic. We try to put a good culture around them where they can progress as players, and that's what we're hoping, that the young guys continue to grow and be better.
With Masai Ujiri, well, I mean, conventional wisdom in pro sports, this doesn't only apply in basketball. A lot of times, you know, teams will go from a softer coach to a more hard-nosed coach, and or they feel like they really have to flip the script. Do you have an idea of what you would be looking for in terms of your next coach?
Well, I'm just going to go through the search. You know, we're going to look at all kinds of options, avenues, and we're not going to kind of put ourselves in just one position, you know. We're going to go through this, go through the right process, and figure out who the best person for this position to take us forward with our team. So we'll look everywhere.
Is it a scenario where you'd get a guy in and you'd say, "Tell me how you're going to beat LeBron"? Like, can you simplify it to that extent? Because that's been your kryptonite for 3 years. LeBron and the Cavs have knocked you guys out 3 years in a row. I mean, can you simplify it like that, or do you have to think bigger than that and more extensively than that?
More extensively, I would think, you know, like how do we win a championship? I think it is how we have to look at it. And and you're right, that's the absolute approach to have. After LeBron, there are other great players that we're going to have to beat. There are other great teams that that we're going to have to beat. So it's just, for me, I try to focus on us, you know, like, and how are we getting better? What are we doing? How are we growing? You know, like, rather than too much focus on other teams. And I do understand, I'm not stupid, that they're generational players and such players, but I focus on us and how do we get better. There's been progress, you know, and hopefully we can continue to grow.
Well, we've discussed the way the series played out, and you know, game one, we all know it. You guys had that game, and then it got away from you late, and you missed 11 shots down the stretch, and into overtime, we saw what happened. And game two in the second half, LeBron and Kevin Love took off, and the series was effectively over at that point. But if it was a 7-game battle back and forth, and LeBron got you in game seven, he just got you in overtime and put up massive numbers and did what he does, do you think we'd be having the same conversation today? Would that have affected the way you evaluated your team and specifically Dwayne Casey? How big of a role did the 4-game sweep and the ugliness of it factor into everything?
If that was the case, I wouldn't be talking to you today. We'd be playing on Sunday.
Well, I guess, yeah, you'd still be in the midst of the series. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm asking you is, you know, it was ugly. We all saw it. I mean, how emotional was it for you? You know, and you're right there in the middle of it. You're the guy. You're the president of the team, and
it's disappointing. You know, like I feel I'm like everybody else. You know, like you're going to feel disappointment. You're going to have a letdown, but I must get right back up. You know, I have to be the energy. I have to be the passion. I have to be. I have to see the vision of the team and act on this. There's no time for to feel sorry for myself, to feel sorry for anything. You know, like we have to get up, and we can just keep talking about ifs and if this and if that and if this. You know, sometimes if doesn't work. You know, like I'm in this position. You know, like, and I have to take responsibility and try my best, you know, like to them to guide us the right way, and I take responsibility for that.
Well, it was an historic regular season, 59 wins, first seed in the East, and you guys ran into Cleveland again and obviously did not end the way you wanted to. This has been probably the most emotional interview we've done with you, considering the news of the day, and you made that pretty clear during your press conference earlier. This has been a difficult day for you. So we appreciate you coming on and trying to explain how everything played out. Thank you for doing this.
I appreciate it. Like we celebrate KCI, so I say it again, and I'm sorry that it's a downer after such an unbelievable year. I don't want to take anything away from the team, the players, the city. When I speak like this, I'm not defending what we're doing. I'm not being defensive. I'm just trying to. I'm defending our city. I'm defending our team. I'm defending what we're trying to do and what I hope. And pray the next maybe 5 years can be. I really celebrate Casey and what he's done, because he was a father for us. He was unbelievable, and he's part of how we have grown in this organization. So I'm sorry it's a downer, but hopefully we lift up from here.
Yeah, well put. I think that's what everyone's hoping for. Thank you for doing this, Masai.
Thank you.
Masai Ujiri, president of the Raptors.
You don't have to be sorry. You get paid to be the president of the team and to make the decision. You want to fire the guy, you fire the guy. You just got your ass kicked against Cleveland.
Yeah.
You fire the guy.
Well, and that's what he did, and he knows that. I mean, yeah. I think what he's trying to... Listen, Dwayne Casey is a guy that he's the winningest coach in team history. I think there's a part of Masai, even though he wasn't willing to really give us the details, that he's disappointed in his players, too, you can
for
tell.
Sure.
I mean, he's sitting there thinking... This is what you gave me. This is what you guys supplied. If you go down fighting, and they did not go down fighting.
And when you pressed him on his players, he kind of just, he glossed over it. You talked about Kyle and DeMar.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you saw it too. I saw what you saw.
Right.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Well, he's got to be diplomatic
too.
I mean, his responsibility is not to this show, it's to his team.
Correct.
So I understand why he's going to be guarded. And listen, we had Dubas on an hour and a half ago. That's the nicest interview we're ever going to do with Kyle.
Yeah.
Even though, he's a good guy. We've met him before, and he's been on the show before. It's been a number of years. But the next time we get him on, it'll be, okay, why'd you make this choice? Why'd you make that choice?
Exactly.
That's the reality of the business. And that's the reality of being the president of a team. You got to make a tough call. The truth is, I think what he said off the top, too, is important to point out. The timing of this makes more sense, even though I think it was inevitable. I think he had made up his mind.
Right.
But he wants Casey to go out there and get another job.
Yeah, there's other vacancies in the league.
Absolutely. Milwaukee, Atlanta, Detroit, Orlando, all teams in the East, they're all open. And I would put some pretty good money on the idea that Dwayne Casey will get one of those jobs.
And doesn't he have he has a relationship with the Orlando GM, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does. Yeah. Weltman.
Well, there isn't.
So Weltman used to be up here, and now he's running the operation down there. So we appreciate Masai coming on. I mean, that's as soft-spoken, and as you could tell, that's tough.
It's a hard day for him, because I'm sure he has a very close relationship with Dwayne Casey, and he had to let a friend go.
Five-pack coming up. Maybe some phone calls on the news of the day. Your thoughts on Dubas, your thoughts on Casey, your thoughts on Stroman going to the DL. Your thoughts on Gracie? Anything you want.
Gracie pulled a stunt.
All right, save that
That's
for the 6 p.m.
2 days in a row.
Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Friday five-pack coming up. There's a lot of different options for the five-pack. Noodles is back. Are you
okay
over there?
Believe me, I was in, and I wanted to ask Messiah a question, but you guys waved me off.
We had to, for your own good, dude. You realize that. That was a charitable move by O-Dog and I.
I thought I would...
We called him off.
I could fight through it.
But you kept choking after that.
It was phlegm. I've got a little bit of a cold, and then you mix in a chicken finger that went...
South.
Haywire. It was like a flake of it.
I think Messiah would have hung up and been like,
he was close to hanging up on you anyway.
Yeah, there were a couple of circle backs that he wasn't necessarily ecstatic about.
Yeah, but that's fine. You had to. You went Larry King. That was a very good interview.
The fans, they've got questions. I've got questions. People wanted. You got to remember, they won 59 games. They did win a round. This has been their greatest stretch in team history. I'm not taking anything away from that. But when you fire the head coach, who I think had a great run, the greatest run, an unprecedented run in yes. team history. Is about to be named the coach of the year. He had his mistakes without question. But I just think it's kind of a cop out to place it all on him. And listen, if Masai moves one of the big two, Kyle or DeMar, then that'll be the biggest statement he's ever made as president.
Right.
If he trades one of those two this summer, that is a massive, massive indictment on those two.
Yeah, because if he doesn't, he's just giving this group an appetite that they can go out there and fail, and they'll change something else around.
So we'll see. You know, like we won't know that until the end of the summer.
Right.
So we'll get to the five-pack. The phone lines are going to be open, 416-870-1050, 1-855-591-6876. So the real booze hounds on the East Coast, because in Newfoundland, it's like 7:30 out there. If you're in Newfoundland, call us, 1-855-591-6876. Your thoughts on Casey, Dubas, Stroman, that and more coming up in the final hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.